So this month we started looking at something that we called "And the thief asked Jesus." No, the thief told Jesus, "Please remember me." So what's the background to this? Jesus was falsely accused. He was nailed on the cross. I mean, this is Easter period, so we're familiar with that theme. But the interesting thing was this. As he was nailed on that cross, there were two thieves beside him. There was one on the right, and there was one on the left. And one of the thieves looked at Jesus just before Jesus died and said, "Jesus, please remember me when you go into your kingdom." And Jesus' response was that he would not only remember him, but that the next day, he would be with Jesus in his kingdom. That means he would be in heaven. So that's kind of like the theme of what we're looking at today. We're looking at the crucifixion of Jesus, the things that led up to his crucifixion, and what those things mean to us. So that's what we're going to be looking at this month. But this morning, I want to look at something. I was just reflecting on the life of Jesus and the things that happened to him as he was about to be crucified. Now, bear in mind that the reason Jesus came, the Bible tells us, was to pay the price for our sins, to die on the cross for us as a sacrifice for our sins so that we could be reconciled to God. So that was his life goal, more or less. That was why Jesus came. And this had been spoken about for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Isaiah was saying that, that he would be born. Other prophets as well referred to the birth of Jesus and the death of Jesus. So that was why he was born. That was his main life goal, to reconcile us to God by being the sacrifice for us. So just bearing that in mind, what I'm going to be focusing on today is what I've called "Life Sets You Up for Unforgiveness." Life sets you and I up for unforgiveness. So what I'm going to be talking about today is twofold. I'll be looking at the life of Jesus and how life was trying to set Jesus up for unforgiveness and what that would have cost us. And also reflectively on your life as well and my life. And you'll be able to draw a similarity between the life of Jesus and your life and my own life as well. So that really we go through life and we are conscious of some of the things that are going on around us and the effects that they're having on us that we might not be aware of if we're not really conscious of those things. So, I've said life sets you up for unforgiveness, and we'll look at the life of Jesus. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is this. As you and I are walking through life, as we're getting up, going to work or school or whatever it is that we do, we will encounter certain situations, we'll encounter certain people, we'll encounter certain things that will challenge us. And those things that challenge us in those instances will try and challenge you negatively. Those things are going to have an effect on you and I to do something to our hearts. Those things that happen will try and modify the person that you could be. Those things that happen to you will try and make you have a different perspective on life than you would normally have had. Those things will try and shape your mindset to the point that one of the things that those things will try and do is to make you and I people who have in our hearts the inability to forgive certain things. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. I'm going to look at three things in the life of Jesus that maybe some of them have happened to you in another context, but I suspect that maybe they have. Some of them more, some of them less. But you and I need to be conscious of these things. Do you understand? So we're looking at unforgiveness here. You're like, how does this relate to the life of Jesus? We'll see this in a minute. So the first thing that I see in the life of Jesus that really happened to him, I look at three, I've got three things that usually happen to us in this life. And the first is in the book of Luke chapter 22 verses 1 to 6. I look at three things that happened to us. Luke chapter 22 verses 1 to 6. Now, the festival of unleavened bread called the Passover was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some ways to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priest and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. So the first thing I see here is this. Betrayal. Can you beat this? Jesus had 12, he chose 12 disciples. They had lived and traveled together over a course of 3 years. These were his close companions. They had seen Jesus, you know, in the garden, really thinking, how am I going to go to the cross? They had seen Jesus provide for them. They had gone through a lot of things in life with Jesus. They had given up their comfort and traveled with Jesus. Jesus had invested in them. He had taught them, told them about God. He literally lived his life before them. When they were ill, he would pray for them. When they didn't have any money, like Peter, when the tax man came to Peter, Jesus said, go to the next river, maybe River Avon or something. Throw a rod and you catch a fish. Open the mouth of that fish and you find money in there. I was like, oh my goodness, I think maybe we need to do that. So every time I get my council tax bill, I can just say, maybe we should try it. Sister Chema, when you're going back to Wales, right, you know that big bridge, just park, just walk down, get like a rod. You can get one at, I think, Morrison's. Throw that rod in there. The fish, you catch fish there. The fish you catch, open the fish, the mouth of the fish, and you find gold. Cash that gold and bring it back to Pastor Benson. But you are laughing. Jesus actually did that. Maybe we need to pray more so that we can do that here. Yeah, I like Stamachi. Yeah. Okay, you know what? When you're going home, take the car with Sister Chioma and go fishing. So they had seen Jesus perform wonderful things. Jesus had really cared for them. And Judas goes, the Bible tells us, to the chief priest because he knows they've got a beef against Jesus. And they didn't even come looking for him. He went there by himself. And the reason he went there was, how can I betray Jesus? How can I get money to betray Christ so that he can be imprisoned, dealt with? I mean, I wonder how Jesus must have felt. I wonder how he must have felt. Let's come back to ourselves. There's a story I told here before where, I mean, a lot of things have happened to me. A lot of them good. A lot of them not so good. And there have been people that have come into my life that have really helped as much as I mean, there was this person, I'm going to speak in the third person. It's a long time ago when we were, just before we started this church in West London. And this person had like loads of problems in their marriage and all that. We stood with them. Eventually, you know, things didn't work out at that time. So he had to leave the house. It was like really interesting. And he lost, I should have used the third person here. The person, and it's a he, lost their job. And it was a really, really, really trying time for this individual. And those days, we said, okay, we'll, you know, let's just support this friend of ours. We said, okay, come and, you know, stay with us in our house for a bit till you get another flat and till you get a job and all that. So we're like looking for work for this individual. They got a job. They got an apartment. They, you know, they had to pay like the deposit and all those things. They couldn't afford it at that time. And we had a mortgage payment to pay. And we didn't have any money then. I'm not recommending you do this, by the way. This is just like one off. And this guy had been looking for an apartment, no success. He now finds one, and they're like, oh, you have to move in within a week, and you have to pay the deposit and the rent in advance and all that. He didn't have any money because he had just started work a couple of weeks before. So it's like, man, what do I do? Blah, blah, blah. I've been looking. So we didn't have any money at that time. I'd spent most of my money, but we had our mortgage payment that we're making. You know, you didn't miss that. So do you know what we did? My late wife then, I just called her aside. I said, look, our mortgage payment for this month, let's give it to this guy. I will talk to the mortgage company that, look, we'll sort you guys out later. We took our mortgage payment for that month, gave it to this individual to pay his deposit. He moved, and he was really happy. Then I had to have the conversation with the mortgage company. I know how it is, quite embarrassing. Give us your income and expenditure. Why did you miss the payment? Why? I was like, oh, yes, 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 yes. And he got back on his feet. And we didn't hear from him again. All of a sudden, after that, I called. I was like really worried. This guy didn't pick up his call. I was like, my goodness, I hope this guy's fine. Da 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 da. After several weeks of proper worrying, because like, man, I hope this guy hasn't done anything funny because of the, you know. One day he picks my call. And I'm like, oh, where have you been? Da 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 da. You know, we've been. He said, oh, I'm fine. I've been busy. But like, we've been trying to reach you. Yeah, I said, yeah, Pastor, yeah, I understand. And then, by the way, I'm busy. I need to go now. Bye. He cuts the phone. And I'm like, did that just happen? Am I missing something here? If it was you, how would you feel? Well, maybe you've even gone through worse than that, where someone you've inconvenienced yourself for, someone you've poured out your heart for, maybe someone you've even told certain secrets about yourself, maybe someone that you've struggled with, gone through difficult situations, you've been there for them, someone that you have like, man, whatever happens, I'm by you, and you guys, and they stab you in the back. They betray your trust. What would that do to you? How would you feel about that? Well, I don't know about you guys. I mean, you guys are like, in this church, you're like super spiritual. No problem. But what I did in my circumstance then was I went home. I just sat down. I said, God, what is this? What is this? I mean, what's all this about? I almost blocked the guy's number, but as a pastor, you can't block people's number. Block! Actually, I think I'd say blocked. I said, no, you can't do that. Unblock. You know, a lot of things went through my mind. This is what I'm going to do, you know? I'll never do that for anyone again. It's just, that was what was going through my mind. I was totally disappointed. By the way, that has happened to me not just once or twice, a couple of times. Now, if that happens to you a few times, what would that do to you? Imagine what it could have done to Jesus. Imagine how Jesus felt. So, betrayal is one of the things that set us up for unforgiveness. Betrayal is one of the things that tries to bring you to the point where you say, I will not forgive that person. So it's one of the things that sets us up. It's one of the things that tries to mold our hearts. Now, am I saying we should just be unwise? Am I saying, oh, we should just let people take us for a ride or take the mickey? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we should put our guard down and let people keep doing that to us. No, I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is this. Those situations can cause you and I to arrive at a point where our hearts, rightly so, close up. And I told God, this guy, never. And God was looking at me. So, betrayal does it. And we need to be aware of this. So Jesus was betrayed. The next thing we see here is this. Luke chapter 23, verse 32. This is the second thing. Luke chapter 23, verse 32. It says, two other men, both criminals, were led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him along with these criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Luke chapter 22, I'll go to verse 23, the same chapter, verse 35 to 39. He says, the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him, which is, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. I mean, come on. Jesus had been dragged through the streets. He had been whipped to the point that he was bleeding. Crown of thorns on his head. I watched this film, this was a while ago, called The Passion of the Christ. When I watched, I'd seen a lot of Jesus movies growing up, and a lot of the Jesus movies I'd seen before them was like, Jesus looking very comfortable, healing people, providing food for people. So I was like, this is cool. When I saw that movie, I said, my goodness. The movie captured, I think, about 24 hours before Jesus was crucified. It was a bloody film. I think at one point when they were whipping Jesus, I think I actually shouted while I was watching. Ah! I was like, oh, but it's a film, Pastor B. At one point I was like, I'm not quite sure I can watch this thing anymore. And you know, the guys that did the film, they whipped him, then they stopped. Then when you were like, I don't know, maybe it was for cinematic effect. When you were like, oh, thank God. Then I was like, I'm not quite sure I can watch this thing. Bloodied, whipped, flesh hanging, torn, beaten, and he's on the cross. I mean, even if Jesus had done anything to you, seeing someone in that state on the cross, and the cross, oh my goodness, we know what a cross is, not like the fancy one you wear on your necklace, wood. They put Jesus on there like this, nailed, they put one nail through here so that his bones will hang him, another one through here. Then they put his feet together like this, then nailed it, then put him on the cross. And in those days, what the cross did was that the way you died on the cross was not necessarily through the pain, but in that position, your lungs, you wouldn't be able to breathe because like you're collapsed, your hanging on your lungs, so you really wouldn't be able to breathe, then what you would have to do was to like push yourself up so that your lungs would have space to breathe. So the process was that you would do that. When you are now tired, you would suffocate in your own blood. So that was what was happening to Jesus. And if you saw someone in that state, come on, how would you, I mean, wouldn't you just be like, oh, man, this is enough. You guys, take it easy on Jesus. But do you know what some of the people were doing? Look at you. Save yourself. Save yourself. Okay. If you say you are like the Messiah that you've been, or let's see you do it now. They were mocking him. So the second thing that tries to form unforgiveness in our lives is when people mock us in our lowest moments. It can be so disheartening. Yes, you say you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, why did that happen to you? You go to church Sunday. I mean, we are here. We don't go to church that often. I'm not having that many problems in my life. You that you go to church, you're so this thing. See what's happening in your life? You couldn't do this. That hasn't happened to your life. And you call yourself a Christian. I mean, this God, I mean, this, take it easy. Take it easy. You're not the only one that. And you're going through stuff. When people should be like, oh, how are you doing? How are you feeling? I hope you're feeling better. How can I help you? But it's in that low moment that some people might choose to mock you. How would that make you feel? How did it make Jesus feel that, my goodness, in my lowest moments, I'm about to die here. I am suffocating. I am bloodied. I am tired. And the only thing these guys can tell me is to mock me. Jesus, God. I was just saying that. You know, I mean, this is, I don't know. This is me, by the way. Jesus had the power to just, if I was now, I'll just say, okay, I've had enough. Angels, remove the nails and everything. I'll just come down and say, you're mocking me, right? Fire! He could have done that easily. Easily. He could have just come down and just say, look, enough, God. I've done what I can. Betrayal, mocking. Do I have to die for these people? Let them sort themselves out. I'm back, going back to heaven. I've had enough. Do you understand? But he didn't. Why? We'll see in a moment. So the second thing we see is mocking or mockery. When people mock us or leave us in a place, or they don't encourage us when we need that encouragement the most. And instead, they're pointing out our faults. They're pointing out our misfortune, our temporary misfortune. It's setting you and I up for, or trying to bring us to the place of unforgiveness where we're like, I'll never ever forgive this person or these, you know, I'm just going to let them do their own thing and I'll do my own thing. Why? Because mocking hurts a lot, particularly when you're in a low moment. Maybe if Jesus wasn't on the cross and he was just walking down the street and they said, oh, are you the, it probably wouldn't have mattered. But it was when he was in his dire moment. That hurts. You know? That hurts, man. So maybe you've been in a position where you're encountering some challenges. And the people that you've expected to help you are the people who have mocked you. What did that do to you? What decision did you come to? Did you come to the decision, the natural decision that never again? Never again. The truth is, if you did come to that decision, It's the logical decision to come to. So I'm not saying you shouldn't have come to that decision. It's a logical decision to come to. So I'm not saying, No. From a logical perspective, that is the decision that anyone would come to. But the thing is this. The same way betrayer tries to bring your heart to a particular place is the same way that mockery also tries to set you up to bring you to the place where you find it almost impossible to forgive. Almost impossible. I'm not using the word almost hard. I said almost impossible. And you're like, oh, Pastor Benson, tell us something that's going to cheer us up. Hang on. I think there was a time I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know what I spoke on that Sunday. And everybody looked so sober. I was like, I think what I need to do is get Sister Chioma to get loads of cake and ice cream so that after these sorts of sessions, you can just eat a lot of ice cream and cake to cheer yourself up. I was like, oh man. And if you don't, I will eat the ice cream on your behalf. Yes, and Coca-Cola, by the way, as well. So we've looked at betrayal and mockery as one of the things that try to set us up in life so that we're unable to forgive. Jesus went through it as well, slightly even more intensely than any of us could have. And we look at the third and final thing that I put down here that tries to mold us, tries to bring us to the place where we are unable to forgive. And Luke chapter 23, verse 40. Luke chapter 23, verse 40. So Jesus is on the cross here, two criminals, one on the left, one on the right. One of them is accusing him, saying, oh, if you, you know, he's in the mockery group. And the other one says in Luke chapter 23, 40, says, but the other criminal rebuked him, that's the other guy. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. The thief was saying, we were punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. This man has done nothing wrong. So the third thing is being accused falsely. Or when people paint a picture of you that is not true, and people are speaking to you about that or telling other people things about you that are not true, or maybe even saying to you, your life is just going nowhere. Your life is going nowhere. Or they paint a picture of you that is not true. Falsely accusing you. Falsely trying to place a certain character on you that is not true. Like, man, that person, you know. Maybe they ask you, I don't know if this happened to you. There was one individual that, this individual said, oh, I need money to do this, and that. And I was like, okay, give me some time. At this particular time, I have, my budget is tight. I run a tight budget. You know, I have this Excel spreadsheet. My kids then, they'd be like, Dad, we need to buy this and that next month. I say, is it on the budget? It was my own accounting brain. Is it on the budget? Then I'll now look at the budgets, you know. Oh, sorry, this is April. As per my budget, this thing you're asking for, May or July. I'm running. You know, my budget has different colors. yellow, maybe red. For the future, green, yes, 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 yes. So there's sometimes that I'm not looking in any direction. Some people, I'll be like, that's in the red column in my mind. And they're like, oh, you know, how about this, this? Then I'll put it in the yellow column. Oh, how about this? Then I'll put it in the green column. You know, just depending on how persuasive you are. You know what I mean? So this individual said, okay. I said, I will, you know, type budget and all that, but I'll see what I can do. Then it gets to the time, and something came up that I had to spend money on, like really, really important. And I told this person, I said, I'm so sorry that I said I would give you this money to do what you wanted to do, but this happened, and I'm so sorry. Let's look at it for another time. And this person sent me like a message on WhatsApp. And when I read the message, I was like, I mean, what's going on here? The person wrote a massive message saying how unkind I am. I'll use that word unkind lightly. How, and the person even went to the point that you pastors, and you called yourself a pastor. You said you are going to do this and all that. You are XXXX. I said, at one point I just stepped back. I was like, and I responded to the person. I said, why are you saying all this? Like, why are you saying all this? I don't think I've ever received that kind of message before from an individual. So I was like, what is going on here? Then the person apologized later. I was like, man, this is like really weird. Now, what do you think I should have done in that situation? Rhetorical question. He should have responded and said, No. Falsely accused. And this is an individual that, I mean, like over the years, I have like inconvenienced myself. Now, I'm not trying to like paint myself as being like perfect. I'm just giving us examples to say, look, we've all gone through it. Falsely accused. But I'm sure that hasn't really happened to you before. You guys are all, everyone you know is cool. So what am I saying, right? What I'm saying this morning is this. We need to be conscious that life tries to do things to us, to shape our views, to mold our hearts, bring us to a point where we are not unable to forgive. It will do that through false accusation, being wrongly accused, people mocking us, and people trying to betray us. So why am I saying all this? Why am I highlighting all these things this morning? I'm saying all this to us this morning and to myself, reflecting that Jesus did not allow all the things that happened to him to shape his view about what he came to do, primarily. He did not allow that shape his view at all. He didn't. What life was trying to do to Jesus progressively was to make Jesus come to the point where he would not go to that cross. Life was trying to make, life and the devil, mostly life, was trying to push Jesus to the point where he would be like, I've had enough, and I'm not going to go to that cross. And you and I would not be here. So, the point of unforgiveness in our lives, or the purpose of unforgiveness in our lives, though subtle, is to bring us to the place where we come to certain decisions that would sometimes not allow us to do the will of God for our lives. That will not allow us to do the will of God for our lives, though painful. That is the purpose of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness wants to bring you to the place where you shut out everyone in your life, or most people in your life, where there are people that in the future, your life is meant to affect their lives positively. But because you and I sometimes can make a decision based on what certain people in the current have done to the detriment of the future of other people in the future that God has called you to help. So in my instance with the gentleman that did all that to me and all that, I could have said, never again, I'm not going to do that. Then how about the next person that comes to me that's like genuine, that needs help? I will make them pay for the sins of somebody else. How does that help them? How does that help you? If Jesus had allowed unforgiveness to reign, he would definitely not have gone to that cross. So I said, well, God, I've been betrayed. These people are mocking me. These are the same people that I'm meant to die for. No way, thank you. I've been falsely accused. And he will have negated that cross, the sole purpose for his life. So as we go through life, if we are not careful, even though it's really painful, we can develop unforgiveness in our hearts that makes us shut everyone out and affects the people that we're going to help in the future and affects you as well. So what does Jesus say here? And we'll pray after that. So we've looked at the things that can cause us to have unforgiveness. We've looked at the fact that unforgiveness is trying to deter the course that God has put before you. So the last thing is this: what does God want us to do? What does he want us to do? I'll read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. The Bible says here, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Jesus said something when he was on the cross. Luke chapter 23, verse 34, the first part. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So Jesus makes the point here, in his pain, in the moments when he deserved to be angry, deserved to just call it quits, deserved to say, I'm not going to do this thing. He didn't say that. He made a decision, and that decision was, I'm not going to let unforgiveness deter me from the purpose of God in my life. Even though I'm going through extreme pain, even though the situation has got me down. So God isn't saying that we don't feel the pain of these things. Jesus felt the pain. God isn't saying that it's just going to be like a walk in the park. No, not at all. So Jesus is saying here that despite the pain we feel in those circumstances, or that we might have felt, he still expects us to forgive. Why? Because the people who have offended us deserve it? Not at all. Because the people who did those things to us have come to apologize? Not at all. Because those people are sorry? Not at all. It says we forgive for one reason, and one reason alone. Well, for one main reason. And that main reason is what we read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says, forgiving each other as in Christ God forgave you. God forgave you. And he keeps on forgiving you. Is it because you deserve forgiveness? I don't think so. Is it because I deserve forgiveness? I don't think so. But he forgives us all the same. So we're looking at the fact that, look, if Jesus didn't forgive, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. We would have been destined for hell because there would have been no atonement for us. But Jesus put aside all the pain. He put aside everything that was speaking to him in his body. And he made a decision that I'm going to forgive. Not because the perpetrators deserve it, but because God said I should forgive. So this morning, we're going to stop there. So we're looking at Easter now. We're in the Easter season. We're looking at what Christ really went through for you and I. I mean, when I was reflecting on this, I had so many things that I wanted to say. But I said, let me just pick these ones out. Jesus paid a heavy price for you and I. And in that, he's saying, look, forgive. Not because the people who have offended you deserve your forgiveness, but because in Christ, I forgave you as well. Do you understand? So this morning, I'm going to ask that we rise and pray. This morning, we're just going to pray. And I think the prayer we want to pray this morning is, God, help me to forgive. I think that's the only prayer that I'd like us to pray. I don't want to stand here and just say, oh, just forgive, it's easy. Of course not. Of course not. So you and I need help from God supernaturally to forgive. So this morning, you and I want to ask God and just say, God, help me. Help me to forgive. So let's just take that time. It's a personal prayer between you and the Lord this morning. Then after that, I'll pray for us. Why don't you just reflect? Maybe there are people that have done things to you in the past, and it's like, man, I didn't deserve that. Why did they do that to me? You know, that maybe people have done things that are really painful to you that is like, man, this is just so deep. Why don't you ask God to help you to forgive, to give you the supernatural strength, the supernatural ability to let go so that you can really live your life in a way that is like Christ wants you to live. Father, we just want to thank you this morning. Jesus, you have said that the things that you have written in the Bible, therefore, are learning as well. Jesus, we appreciate the pain that you went through for us on the cross. You endured the shame and the pain. You endured betrayal on our behalf. You endured mockery when you didn't have to because of the love that you have for us. Our Father and our King, this morning I'm asking, help us. Help each and every one of us to be able to forgive, to be able to let go in the areas that we have been hurt, in the areas that people have treated us unkindly, in the places that people have done things to us that we can't even speak out. This morning, my Father, my King, I'm asking that you will help us. Librianna bosokope anna bosake, that you will help us. Librianna rabosianna rabosake, that you will help us. Father, that you will help us, O God, that you will help us. Librianna bosake na bosianna bosaka. Father, I thank you for your people. Lord, I speak your grace your supernatural ability into the lives of your people to be able to forgive. Apart from forgiveness, Lord, I'm asking that you bring healing to the areas of hurt. I'm asking that you bring strength for the future as well. In Jesus' name.